Sairam, dear listeners, hope you had listened to the innovative and new initiative undertaken by Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization members by serving the students and the parents with cold water and tasty buttermilk in the heat of the summer who came to attend the MCET examination. And now, this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you to this episode of Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. Today, you'll be listening for the third part of the talk on Vedas by Sri Maunish Vyas, a propagator of Vedic culture and also an ardent devotee of Bhagwan Baba, given as a part of the two-day symposium on the relevance and need for revitalizing the Vedas, conducted by the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashantralayam campus. After this, you will be listening to the live proceedings from the Sai Kulwant Hall of the Vedam and the Bhajan session. Sai Ram.
Next topic is the genesis of Veda. The Vedas are unborn. So how can I talk of genesis of Veda? Now can somebody tell me what is Veda? Veda is knowledge, that's covered. Veda is knowledge, pure. But means you say Rig Veda, so I'll give you a book Rig Veda. Is that Rig Veda? I'm not joking, means I want some of you to say something. Even if it's not correct answer, it's some answer. Means there has to be some awareness about what this is and what is this is not. Otherwise clarity won't come. What is the Veda?
Veda is basically it's voice of God.
Yes, voice of God. So there was Akashwani. Like when Kamsa, he married his very favorite sister, Devaki, to Vasudeva, and he was celebrating the marriage and all trumpets and everything, and there was a physical Akashvani from the sky, that fool, the eighth child of this sister is going to be your murderer. And after the, immediately the celebration stopped, he put them both in jail. So that was the Akashvani, physical Akashvani. So did Vedas come by Akashvani? There were tapasvis doing tapas in those days for hundreds of years. They heard sounds from within their being, from the Chidakasha or Chittakasha, whichever way you put it. Some of them also saw visions. So you can say it was audio-visual. Sometimes it was only audio, sometimes it was audio-visual, because the mantra also had the meaning coming out with it. And some of them also saw the same mantra differently. For example, the Gayatri mantra has been heard not only by one rishi, it has been heard by several rishis. Whether you hear one mantra or one sukta or 108 suktas, the very fact that you heard the voice from within entitles you to the title Rishi. Are you aware who is the latest Rishi on planet Earth? He is a member of the Satya Sai family. Anybody? Very recent. Means Rishis are not from Vedavyasa's time or Rama's time. There is a Rishi living, no, not living today now. He is gone. Not in body. But he is part of the Satya Sai family. Gandhik Shastri, 1977 Vrindavan Trai sessions. He was speaking in front of the boys. And Swami said, tell them. So then he revealed that Swami so many years ago revealed to me this mantra. Saishwaraya vidmahe satya devaya dhimahi tannas sarva prachodayat. He is sarva devata swarupa. Whatever devata you worship to, he is the one who answers you. And this is a secret which Swami has prompted me to reveal right now. Then he turned to Swami. Swami, I am the rishi for this mantra. Swami says, yes, yes. So Swami has accepted. Of course, Swami only made him the rishi. So you can all become rishis. Even if you get one mantra directly from within, you become a rishi for that mantra. And before the start of every sukta, you are supposed to say the name of the rishi. If you are following Rudram in the Lagunyasa, Aghora Rushihi Anushtuk Chandaha Sankarshanamurti Swarupo Yosava Dityaha Paramapurushasa Esha Rudro Devata, then Bijam Kilakam. Those are, but at least the rishi, Chandas and the Devata have to be repeated before the Vedic recitation. That is gratitude to the Rishi. And the Rishi himself said, I have only heard this from the infinite. I do not know who said it. And I am also trying to know who is this. Aditya Varnan Tamasastu Pare. He is as effulgent as a million suns, as he is beyond the tamas of body, mind and senses. So who is he even? I am trying to discover, the Rishi says. But the Rishi says that this is, I am only the recipient, the patra. The vessel who received this mantra. I am not the author. So, as correctly pointed out, this Veda is a collection of audio in today's computer language. It's a collection of audio files. It is not text. The textification of Veda must have started, say, 1800 years ago, slightly after Jesus Christ. Before that, Veda was never written. And by Swami's chronology, the Mahabharata war was fought 5000 years ago. Swami has given the exact date in Samarsava 79 and Samarsava 76. If I remember correctly, it is in December 3136 BCE that the Mahabharata war was fought. And that is the time when Vedavyasa and all the contemporaries of Swami were there with the Krishna avatar. So, how many rishis were there totally? Not counting Gandikota Shastri, there were 403 rishis. This figure is given in the Rig Veda and by Swami in his discourse. The main principle among them was Vasishtha Maharshi. Vasishtha Maharshi, he was the recipient of 108 suktas. And those suktas are in the seventh mandala of the Rig Veda. After that, Swami has named Vishwamitra and Vamadeva. Each of them received 56 suktas. Swami has also named Agastya with 56 suktas. And then three other rishis he has named. Totally there were 403. The list is there in the Rig Veda. And the list is there even in other texts. You can obtain it. Out of these, there were 27 plus rishikas. Your most famous, Aham Rudre Bhirvasu Bhishcharami, was heard by Vagambhrini, the daughter of Ambrana Rishi. So there were 27 rishikas. And today, the people and the pandits outside who deny Veda learning to women, you can ask them point blank, that where did you learn Devi Suktam from? He said so and so, so and so. Who is the rishi for that Suktam? Vagambhrini. Is it a female or a male? Female. Then why are you barring females from learning? You are yourself reciting a Suktam which was heard by a female in the beginning. Then you stop reciting this Suktam because your mother has taught it to you. So he has no answer because pandits, they say, nahi, hum toh aisa hi karta hai. Ultimately they fail. So we are lucky that Swami has opened up Vedic and Gayatri chanting for everyone. And Swami has said even foreigners must chant Vedam, because Vedam does not belong to Bharat. Just as the sun shines over all lands, the Vedam is equal to the sun, the spiritual sun. It shines over all lands. Just because people from Bharat were very keen to know what was that spiritual sun, they received the Veda. But anybody, some people claim that Roma Rishi was present in what is today known as Rome. I don't know the fact, but the name, there was a Roma Rishi, that is fact. Even in our Puranas it is there. And it could be that he was in what is called Rome today. There is definitely evidence of Rishis in Russia. One of our Sai devotees, he is in an oil exploration company. In 1975 he went to Siberia. And some local person took him to what he called Shivalaya, which we call Shivalaya. Shivalaya, it turned out to be a lingam. And that fellow told him that this name Rishiya comes from the word Rishi. So Rishiya has got a very very rich tradition of Rishis, but today it is forgotten. And of course now with Swami's help they are reviving everything. The Sai devotee is there. So Rishis were there all over the planet. They were not restricted to only Bharatavarsha. But fortunately we have preserved those suktas. Even they have been heard by Roma Rishi in Roma or by some Rishi in Russia. The suktas today are with Bharatiya Pandits. So we are lucky to have them. And that is again the reason why Bhagwan always takes avatar in India. Now this, the first one was heard by divine voice, then it was passed on to the Shishya. And this was passed on only in the Karna Parampara or the Mukha Parampara. Nowadays the Mukham and the Karnam has been replaced by the audio cassette and multimedia CD and all that, because we don't have pandits to learn. That many pandits do not exist. And suppose all of us want to learn one-on-one, there are not that many teachers available. So then we have to learn from CD-ROM and other things. But that is not, means I have learnt it myself that way. And I made many mistakes, but I found out that because we are doing it for the love of Bhagwan, the mistake do not hurt us. Otherwise, if you are making money, a professional pandit, if he does karmakand and takes dakshina for that karmakand, he has to chant perfectly. He cannot make even a single mistake, otherwise that mistake will rebound upon him. And the Veda very simply states that if you make a mistake, recite the same passage once again. Then mistake is rectified. Suppose you make a swara mistake or a akshara mistake, stop wherever you have stopped, go back two lines and repeat it again. Your mistake is rectified. There is not a very big prayaschitta for making a mistake during Veda chanting. So don't be afraid of making mistakes. And so long as you don't charge money doing karma kanda and doing rituals, if you make a mistake, you say, Saima, I am your child. Yes, I don't know in what tune should I cry, I am merely crying. You accept my crying for whatever it is and give me your love and accept my love in return. So as long as you are doing it out of love, I am very sure your mistakes will be accepted by Swami. But yet, there will one day come, Swami will say, my child, now it's enough time making mistakes. I want you to become perfect because I want you to join me. And Swami is Mr. Perfect himself. So if you want to merge with Swami, then you have to become perfect. So that day will come, he will guide you, not to worry. That is the Veda Purusha himself. These families carried on the Vedic tradition for thousands of years. Now, in those days, there were no telegraphy, no telephony. So if the Vasishtha family knew 108 suktas, the Vishwamitra family knew their 56 suktas, the Vamadeva descendants knew their 56 suktas, this is borne out by one evidence that during Putra Kameshti Yaga, Vasishtha, who was the greatest Vedic Rishi of them all, even Swami has written that Vasishtha was the greatest of them all, he told Dasharatha that we have to call Rishyashringa for Putra Kameshti. Now imagine, if you have a Rishi amongst you, and you have to call some Rishi from, say, Mumbai, that means something is not here. So at that time, those particular mantras pertaining to Putra Kameshti were not available with Vasishtha's family, or with Vasishtha himself. And he knew that those mantras were with Rishyashringa, because earlier that Rishyashringa had performed this ritual for some other king. So Rishyashringa was brought, and Swami has stated that story, that the wife of Rishyashringa was Dasharatha's own daughter, Shanta. And she did namaskar to Dasharatha and Kausalya, and they asked, daughter, why are you Rishi Putri, why are you not doing namaskar to us? Then she said, the father, have you forgotten me? I am Shanta, your own daughter. And Rishyashringa had said at that time that my wife will also chant Vedas with me. If that is acceptable, I will come and do the ritual, the Putra Kameshti Yaga. So Dasharatha was very desperate for a kid, so he said, okay, we'll do. So in those days also, there was some sort of restriction on women. But this Shanta had learnt all the Vedic mantras from Rishyashringa. And this is evidence that all the suktas of all the Vedas were not available with all the Rishis. How did this get resolved? During the time of Sri Krishna Avatara, a boy named Krishna was born in the middle of an island. Because he was born on a dvipa, he was named Dvaipayana. His name was Krishna Dvaipayana. And from a very young age, he started learning Vedas from his own father, Parashara. He was born out of a fisherwoman, and his birth is a mystery, which Swami has sometimes stated. But he was an Amsha Avatara, and he was born for the specific purpose of gathering these 403 Rishi families together. How did he do that? He travelled on foot throughout the entire length and breadth of the country, and approximately he took between 75 years to 95 years to learn the entire Veda. And every time he goes to a Rishi, that Rishi will say, "Haan, mere pair dabao, you do massage for 1 year, then I will teach you Veda." In those days, it is not that you went today and started learning Yajnena, Yajnama, Yajanta, Devaha. You had to do a lot of Sushrusha, physical seva, and he did all that. And at one point, he got stuck for Atharva Veda. Because even in those days, the Atharva Vedis versus the Trayis, they were fighting. God knows why. This is all Krishna's Leela. So he was desperate to learn Atharva Veda because all the secrets of Sanjeevani Vidya, warfare, practical day-to-day life were only in Atharva Veda. The other three Vedas had more of ritual and more of puja path and all that thing. But how to live life was in Atharva Veda, and that he did not know. So he was going through the jungle, and Krishna helped him in this way, mysteriously. He got injured severely, and he was rescued by an ashramite. And in that ashram was an Atharva Vedi priest, who was a king of all Atharva Vedis. And his daughter brought this injured boy, and this Pandit recited the Sanjeevani mantra and sprinkled water on him. This boy was conscious, he was injured, but he was not dead. He was conscious, he heard the mantra. And he being alert, he remembered the mantra. So, and he took about 8 months to recuperate, because the wound was he was almost on the verge of death. That's why the Rishi had to chant the Sanjeevani mantra to bring him back to life. But in his consciousness, he heard the mantra. And once it so happened that this Rishi swallowed a goat, which was a Rakshasa and which came out from his own stomach. But before doing so, he asked his daughter that you know the Sanjeevani mantra, you have to do it. So daughter says, even this boy knows it. So Rishi says, this boy knows it, how? Okay, when you brought me back to life, I heard the mantra and I can recite it. Rishi asked him, how did you recite it? He chanted, yeah, you know it. So then he repaid the debt to the Rishi by making the Rishi again come back to life after the Rakshasa came out from his stomach. So now the Rishi was indebted to him in a way, and the daughter fell in love with him. So this is how Krishna's Leela works. All this took 1.5 years. So daughter said that I want to marry him. So Rishi said, okay, he's a good boy. He knows Vedas, he's very, very bright. So he married him. Then after another 6 months, daughter said, now he's your son-in-law. Father, why don't you teach him the Atharva Veda? So father said, okay, beta, I'll teach him. So ultimately, he got to learn even the so-called Veda, which contained the secret arts of black magic, white magic, blue magic and what not. And he was the first person on planet Earth to have the entire Veda Mahasagar in one head. And now he had the problem of teaching it. He calculated that if he teaches this entire Mahasagara to one person continuously, it will take 44 years. So Krishna again put a divine thought in his head, you cannot get a student for 44 years because 44 years nobody will still remain unmarried. It's impractical. So now you divide this into four. Make a collection of all the riks. What is a rik? Can anyone tell me? What is a rik? A collection of riks is Rik Samhita, which is now known as Rig Veda. The original word is Rik Samhita, which means a collection of riks. What is a rik? A rik is a poetic meter bound statement. Sahasrashirasan Devam Vishvaksham Vishvashambhuvam Vishvan Narayanan Devam Aksharam Paramam Padam 8 plus 8 plus 8 plus 8. It is bound by this formula. It is Anushtup Chanda. The most popular is Gayatri Chanda. That is 8 plus 8 plus 8 plus 8. The first, very first Rik of the Rig Veda, Agnimire Purohitam Yajnasya Devam Ritvijam Hota Ramdat Nadhatamam, it is Gayatri Chanda. Then we have Nichrit Gayatri Chanda. Saishwaraya Vidmahe Satya Devaya Dhimahi Tannas Sarvas Prachodayat. So anything which is bound by a rule, a poetic rule, which is meter, is known as a Rik. The modern word for Rik is Shloka. We use the word Shloka, it is the same as saying Rik. So all those riks which describe nature and its glory and describe what was God, what could be God, they were made into one collection, and that collection one was the Rik collection. In Sanskrit is known Rik Samhita, and Rik Samhita later on became converted to Rig Veda. The Veda was only one. Then there were mantras which are used for practical sacrifices like Putra Kameshti, like Atirudra, Ativishnu. There are many Agni Chayana. There are 18 types of various yajnas being performed by Vedics. So those mantras were used in the practical art of Vedic sacrifices, and they consisted of both some riks and some sentences. Sentences could be like Namas Somaya cha Rudraya cha Namas Tamraya cha. It will start here and end there. So it has no poetic meter. It has got swara, but it does not have, you know, 8 plus 8 plus 8, that construction. So it is known as gadya, prose. So one is padya, that is poetry. The second is gadya, prose. And the third is gana, that is song. So some of you may have heard song also. When I'll cover Shakha Darshan tomorrow, so I'll sing the Gayatri song tomorrow. That topic is there. So we'll reserve it for tomorrow. So the Trayi means Padya, Gadya, Gana. Now some people mistakenly say Trayi means Rig, Yajus, Sama. Then where is Atharva? Atharva also has Padya and Atharva also has Gadya. It has got prose and poetry both. So Atharva cannot be left out. So it is not Rig, Yajus, Sama. It is Gadya, Padya and Gana. This is Trayi. And it covers the entire Veda. So this collection of Riks was told as a Rik Samhita. The collection of Yajushi mantras was termed the Yajus Samhita. The collection of songs, the songs are only sung during Vedic rituals at Purnahuti, when you are in climax, when you are dancing. All of us sing in bathroom, no, because we are very happy. So in those days, people used to sing when they were at the end of a yajna. And normally yajnas in those days were 51 days, something like that. They were not small yajnas. They were very big yajnas. And the wood had to be obtained from jungle, and the people personally used to cut the wood. Today we pay money and buy the wood. It's not so easy in those days. So at the conclusion of a yajna, it was such a grand celebration that they used to burst into song. So they were Vedic songs. That is known as the Gana portion. So that is now called Sama Samhita or Sama collection. Sama means praise, in praise of yourself, in praise of the creator, in praise of Veda. So the collection of songs and the balance of mantras were pertaining to agriculture, Dandaniti, Rananiti, Yuddhaniti, black magic, white magic. Now what is black magic? It is nothing but mental power. What is white magic? Nothing but blessings. So how to convert your words into blessings and how to convert your words into weapons? That was given in the Veda. And this was done only by kings, not by commoners. So that was mostly seen by the two seers, Atharva and Angirasa. That is why in the Taittiriya Upanishad you have the name Atharva Angirasa Puchham Pratishtha. The balancing factor of the bird, Vedic bird, is the Atharva and Angirasa mantras. So they were named after Atharva and Angirasa because they were the two rishis responsible for those mantras. So that is known as the Atharva collection, now known as the Atharva Veda. So this now division prompted Krishna Dvaipayana to teach one division to one fellow. So the first Rig division he taught to Paila. The second Yajus division he taught to Vaishampayana. The third Sama division he taught to Jaimini. And the fourth Sumantu he taught to Sumantu. And this way he ensured that this Mahasagara was kept alive. And in turn they taught it. So for this very great task he was given the title of the Veda Vyasa. The Vyasikarana means to divide and to explain. So he was the first person who knew the entire Veda of the entire country, and in turn he divided it and he explained it, and he attached one Upanishad to each of the branches. Swami has written in the Upanishad Vahini that there were 1180 Veda Shakhas during the time of Veda Vyasa, and one Upanishad was attached to each Shakha. Today we have only 108 Upanishads left, and Shakhas there are only 9 alive. Out of 9 there are only 3 or 4 Shakhas in which there are practicing Pandits. The other Shakhas are on the verge of death. There are only 2-3 Pandits, old people, and once they die the Shakha is dead. So that was, and Swami has stated in Satya Sai Vedavani that imagine today out of 1180 Shakhas only so many are alive, yet this country is surviving. Imagine if all the 1180 Shakhas were extant, what would be the state of Bharat today? How strong would Bharat be? Our pathetic condition is primarily only due to the neglect of Veda by our own Pandits and the practice by our own people. Swami has very firmly stated this. And the only thing which can bring back Bharat to its former golden glory is the practice of Veda and the revival of Vedic culture. Now I'll come to my next topic, the 60 sounds in Veda. Are there any questions on this? The genesis of Veda, the role of Veda Vyasa, who was actually Krishna Dvaipayana and later on titled as Veda Vyasa. Veda Vyasa is like a prime minister, was not his name, it was a title. Because he was the person contributed maximum to the Veda. Can we go on to the next topic, the 60 sounds in the Veda? Because this is a practical thing. In the Krishna in the four Yajurvedas, the question is, what is called Rudra Prashna? Is the question correct? Why is it called Rudra Prashna? So there are currently four Yajurveda Shakhas still alive. That is Krishna Yajurveda Taittiriya Shakha, Krishna Yajurveda Maitrayani Shakha, Shukla Yajurveda Madhyandina Shakha, and Shukla Yajurveda Kandva Shakha. All four have got what is known as the Rudra Prashnaha. Prashnaha means question. Question into what? Mystery. The mystery of Rudra. And if you wish to explore the mystery fully, then there is a book available in the bookstall for rupees 45. It explains you the mystery of the Rudra Tattva in very great detail. It will take you minimum 1 month to read that book. You can read it as much as you want, or you can explore at your own speed. But the Rudra Prashna is the Rudra mystery. And the mantras of the Rudra Prashna, they try to resolve the Rudra mystery. They try to answer that Prashna. What is Rudra? Who is Rudra? Whether it is within you, whether it is without you. And what is that Rudra to be dealt with when you are confronted with that Rudra? So, and tomorrow I will be covering this topic for an hour, the Rudra Namaka Chamakam. So, I will answer your question in full detail at that time. In the meanwhile, today you have the book to read. Any other questions? Which chandas? Seven chandas are major in Vedas: Gayatri, Trishtup, Anushtup, Jagati, Pankti, Atipankti, Ativistara, and two more. Otherwise, the chandas are more than 500 in number. And even in the Vedas, the chandas actual count is more than 300. So, but seven are major. Major are seven. Gayatri, Anushtup, Pankti, Jagati, like Gananantva is in Jagati Chanda. Nitrit Gayatri, Saishwaraya Vidmahe. Anushtup Chanda is Rudra, the first Anuvak. So, those are the chandas. And that is why the Vedic Bhasha is known as Chando Bhasha. It is not known as Sanskritam. Sanskritam, as we learn today, was propounded by Panini, the great grammarian who was supposed to have lived in 2300 BC. And today, whatever rules Panini has stated, some of the Vedic mantras do not follow those rules. Like Bhadrankarne Vishrunuyama Devaha, Panini will say, Bhadram Karnaihi Srunuyama Devaha. In Vedas it is Karnebhi. Even in Rudra there are too many uses which are known as ancient prayogas, which are not in vogue today, according to Panini. But that is like a technical issue. But chandas are there. The seven main chandas are there. At the end of any Rig Samhita book, you will find all the chandas listed. And if you want them on soft copy or something, when I reach Bombay, I can give you the whole list of all 400, 500, whatever they are. But it's in Sanskrit, Devanagari. So, means any serious student of Veda has to learn the Devanagari script. Otherwise, you will not be able to read further. Majority of all the publications are in Sanskrit only. Any other questions?
I have heard that in Kerala,
I have been Kerala personally, and by Bhagwan's grace, I know the number one Atharva Vedi of this country. His name is Sridhar Adi. He is from Gokarna in Karnataka. And if you meet that person, he himself is like a magical person. He is eccentric, complete eccentric. If he falls in love with you, he will give his own head to you. And if he wants to fight with you, he will take away your head. He is a pakka Vaidik, you know, pakka Brahman. Means at the age of 60, he has not collected even one penny for himself. His house is in shambles. So, but his Saraswati is very powerful. And I have witnessed that he has come to Bhagwan also in 1972. And he is a Ashu Kavi, it means Shigra Kavi. So whatever, that he has got great qualities. And he teaches the Shaunakiya Shakha of Atharva Veda. There are two Shakhas extant. One is Shaunakiya, which is with Swaras. The very first mantra of that, Ye Tri Shapta Pariyanti Vishwaru Pani Vibhrataha. They have this Jhatka style in North India. Vachaspatir Balateshan Tanvo Adyadathatume. So he was making fun of my Medha Sukram. Are Tumari Medha Devi, Mere Paas Aajao, Ye Kya Tum Medha Ko Request Kar Rahe Ho? Hum Toh Aise Bolta, Adyadathatume. Means, Aman has met Sridhar Adi, so he knows what that person is. Very, very mercurial. Very, very fiery character. And he says, what you are requesting Medha Devi? He command Medha Devi, come right now. So he is Atharva Vedi and you can meet him in Gokarna. He is now appointed as a part-time teacher of the Atharva Veda, Sayana Bhashya in Tirupati. And like me, he has started teaching it over Skype because he said, I cannot leave my Mahabaleshwar. He is in love with Mahabaleshwar, who is the Gokarna Adhipati, Pithadishwar. That, you know, Mahabaleshwar is the presiding deity of Gokarna. He said, I cannot leave my Mahabaleshwar, so I will not go to Tirupati. He spent there some 3 months and he came back. So now he is teaching those four students on phone and on Skype, the Sayana Bhashya. He is the only person who knows the Sayana Bhashya in Atharva Veda. And he has today got about 300 to 400 students. And he was feated by the Sringeri Shankaracharya with a very big felicitation function in Pune about 8 months back. I was present at the function. And he is the sole person to have introduced Atharva Veda in Maharashtra and in Karnataka. He learnt it from Varanasi, from Dr. Manohar Lal Dwivedi. At that time, the only one of two persons alive to have known that Veda, there were only two people, Vasudev Pancholi and Manohar Lal Dwivedi. Vasudev Pancholi taught Sitaraman, Sitaraman in turn taught some 10 people. Manohar Lal Dwivedi taught this Sridhar Adi, in turn Sridhar Adi taught some 30 people, in turn they have taught 300 people. So that, the revitalization of Shaunakya Shakha is only attributable to that one man, Sridhar Adi. And once he came...